بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد We continue reading what the author he has mentioned in the book of As-Salah Reading from the chapter of Al-Mawaqid, the chapter of the times of As-Salah. And we have been reading the narrations. The author mentioned two narrations from Aisha, radiallahu anha. And the author, he mentioned these two narrations to clarify some of the excuses that are permissible for a believer to miss the congregational prayer. And the excuses that are allowed and accepted for an individual to delay the prayer from its first time without blame and the likes. And likewise, these narrations as well clarify some of the issues that are disliked to be performed during the Salat. So we have in these two narrations, ذكر بعض الأعذار المبيحة للتأخر عن الجماعة وبيان أو وبيان شيء من مكروهات الصلاة. يعني the mention of some of the excuses that make it permissible for a believer to fall behind from the congregational prayer, and also some of the affairs or the clarification of some of the affairs that are disliked to be performed during the salah. And the reason for the permissibility of these things is because if not the person who will fall into that which is disliked. And these things that are disliked, likewise, they are a means for a person's salat to be deficient. And also these affairs that are mentioned here that are disliked, they are directly related to the deficiency of al-khushu' and having humbleness and humility, and also having hudur al-qalb and the presence of mind and the heart during the prayer. So these issues that we have discussed, they affect this affair here. So there are many benefits that have come in these narrations, and we complete from where we left off. I read the narrations again. The author, he says, عن عائشة رضي الله عنها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال إذا أقيمت الصلاة وحضر العشاء فابدأوا بالعشاء وعن ابن عمر نحوه ولي مسلم عنها قالت رضي الله عنها سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول لا صلاة بحضرة طعام ولا هو يدافعه الأخبثان. So the first narration we have discussed in our previous class, and it is the narration of Aisha رضي الله عنها. She said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, if the prayer is established and the Asha, the dinner meal, is present and ready and prepared, then you should begin with the meal. Then you should begin with the Asha, with the dinner, with the meal of dinner. And he mentioned, rahimahullah, likewise, there are another narration also from Ibn Umar with regards to this affair, similar to this wording. And he also mentioned another narration, and this is where we left off, from the wording of Imam, Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah. He mentioned that she said, radiallahu anha, Ummuna Aisha, that she heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying, La salata bihadrati ta'amin, that there is no prayer when food is ready, whenever the food is ready, and either the food is prepared and it's ready and it's presented. Wala huwa yudafi'uhu al-akhbathan. Wala huwa yudafi'uhu al-akhbathan. And also whenever one is resisting the urge to relieve oneself. Whenever one is resisting the urge to relieve oneself. So the first of this narration is similar to the narration that has preceded. And that if there is food that is present and it is prepared and is ready to eat and this coincides with the time of a salah, then eating the food takes precedence. And one should eat the food, and it's allowed for him to delay his prayer and to put the food first. And this is from the ease in the deen, but also the main purpose and the main goal is not to look to the right of the servant, but rather to look to the right of Allah. And this is not from the aspect of putting the dunya first over the actions of the hereafter, but rather preserving the completion and the perfection of the actions of the hereafter and the rights that they have and how they should be performed properly. And this is because it has preceded that the one who approaches the salat, whenever he has his mind preoccupied with food and his desires are preoccupied with food and his soul is yearning and desiring to eat and the food is prepared and it's ready for him, and he turned away from those desires to prayer, to come to the prayer, he would approach the prayer in a manner that is not proper, and he'll approach the prayer while his mind is thinking about the dunya and while his heart is attached to the food, and therefore he will miss the purpose of the prayer, which is al-khushu' wa hudur al-qalb. وأقيم الصلاة لذكري. For the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will miss this part. This part will be deficient with regards to the people in general whenever they come to the prayer in this manner. Whenever they come to the prayer in this manner. And likewise, it has preceded that this is the case for the one that this happens to, it happens to him without intention, and it's something that does not happen often, rather occasionally. Maybe he will find himself in this situation and the likes like this, but he will not plan to have the food prepared at the time of the prayer in order to delay the prayer or to miss the congregation. لا, he will not have that intention. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is aware of all things, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is has knowledge of all things, and he sees and hears all things, and he knows that which is in the breast of men. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing is hidden from him, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So a believer should fear Allah with regards to this, but likewise at the same time know that if the situation occurred to him and this is the issue for him, it's allowed for him to delay the congregational prayer or to come late or even to miss it entirely if he is needing the food and if he's desiring the food. And this is in order for him to come to the prayer without having any attachments to the dunya, and come to the prayer while his mind is completely devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who he is establishing the prayer for. The one who he is establishing the prayer for. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But the second narration here, from the wording of Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, it has another benefit. And this is what the author has mentioned here also to clarify. وَلَا هُوَ يُدَافِعُهُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ وَلَا هُوَ يُدَافِعُهُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ الْأَخْبَثَانِ الْمُرَادُ بِهِمَا البول والغائط. The ulama, they mention al-akhbathan is muthanna, al-akhbath. And what is being referred to here is al-bowl, urine, and al-ghail, and the feces, meaning the person, while he has to relieve himself, he should not come to the prayer like this. La salata, bihadrati ta'amin, wa la huwa yudafi'uhu al-akhbathan. There should be no prayer at this time, whenever the food is prepared and it is ready, and it is being presented, and this is understood likewise while the soul is desiring that. And also there is no prayer whenever one is resisting the urge to relieve himself. While one is resisting the urge to relieve himself. So we see here that la salata. And la salata, in the ulama they mentioned that this is la anafiya lil jins. La salata. Nam and ismuha salata. مَبْنِيُّنَا الْفَتْ. But the khabar is mahduf, and the majority of the scholars, or it's deleted, but it's understood, and the majority of the ulama, جمهور العلماء, قَدَّرُوهُ بِكَامِلَةٍ. And لَا صَلَاةَ كَامِلَةٌ بِحَضْرَةِ الطَّعَامِ وَلَا هُوَ يُدَافِعُ الْأَخْبَثَانِ. And that the prayer is not complete. And this has preceded, and the one who performs the prayer, in any case, whether he desires the food or not, if he desires the food and the food is present, and he prays instead, or if he prays while he has the urge to relieve himself, and he did not follow the narration, and we wouldn't understand this narration that he has no prayer and he should pray again. But rather what is intended is that the prayer is not complete, and that he did not perfect the prayer, and the prayer is deficient, although the responsibility of performing the prayer has been lifted from him, and he has fulfilled that obligation. Although it was fulfilled in a manner with deficiency, and it was not completed in its best manner. نعم لا صلاة بحضرة طعام ولا هو يدافعه الأخبثان ولا هو يدافعه الأخبثان. He's resisting the urge, meaning that these two things, الأخبثان البول وغائط يدفعه إلى الخروج أو يدفعانه للخروج. They're trying to leave and they're causing him to not be able to think about anything else, and he's becoming preoccupied with whatever affair that he is engaged in or involved in, and he cannot focus because they're trying to come out and he's trying to resist them coming out. One of them or the other one or both of them, he has the urge to relieve himself. And this waste is trying to come out, and he resists that and he prohibits that. So therefore, at this time, his mind is preoccupied. His mind is preoccupied from what he is engaged in. And if this is the prayer, then this is a very bad situation for him to approach the prayer in this manner while he has to relieve himself. And while he's preoccupied and his mind cannot focus, and he's thinking about this issue that he is dealing with. Therefore, the legislation has clarified that a person, he should come to the prayer after relieving himself. That he should take care of that issue first. That way he can come with his mind completely devoted, and he can come focused, and he can come with the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he can leave the dunya behind him. The salat is from the greatest actions. Rather, it is the greatest action, the obligatory prayer from the actions about Islam after the shahadatain. Naam, after the shahadatain, the arukun al-thani, min arkan al-Islam, is the second pillar from the pillars of al-Islam, and it's from the best means to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jalla, to worship Him. And a believer should not approach this worship in the affair of heedlessness, and he should not approach this worship while his heart is attached to the dunya whatsoever. Rather, whenever a believer comes to the prayer, he should throw the dunya behind him. And he should throw the affairs of the worldly life behind him, and he should devote himself entirely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and think about the hereafter and the meaning of Allah Azza wa Jal. Think about the blessings of Allah and hope for His mercy and His pleasure and an increase from His fadl and grace subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to fear His punishment and to fear falling into His anger tabaraka wa ta'ala. As-salat min a'mal al-akhirah. The prayer is from the actions of the hereafter. They should be done sincerely for Allah alone, also with truthfulness. Truthfulness meaning that one is focused and he is paying attention while he's performing that. That he is doing that while his mind is aware and his heart is present, and he is focused and trying to perfect what he is involved in. This is how the salat should be performed. So therefore, it's incumbent for a believer to strive to establish this, and to strive against one's soul, yani to have khushu' in the prayer, and to ponder over what is reciting, what is being recited, or what one is reading himself. And this is the purpose of the prayer. So therefore, anything that contradicts that or negates that, will bring deficiency to that, a believer, he should leave that behind him whenever he approaches the salat. He should take care of that entirely and not bring that into the prayer with him. And not bring that to the prayer with him. The purpose of the prayer and the main goal and intent is to have the khushu' and the remembrance of Allah. To have humility and humbleness and the awareness of the heart, and to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. The ulama, they mentioned, although if a person, for example, he had a slight need, and it's not to the extent to where it's, and he feels the pressure and it's a great urge to relieve himself, and it's as if, any, like as in the narration, هو يدافعه الأخبثان, and the meaning is أنه يدفعهما عن الخروج وهما يدفعانه عن الشغل بغيرهما ليخرجا. That he's trying to stop them from coming out, and this is what he's preoccupied with, and they're trying to come out, so now he can't think about anything else. Now he can't think about anything else. In this situation, he needs to relieve himself, and he's not able to think about anything besides this affair. As for if he, for example, had to pass urine, and it's something that has not reached that extent, where it's a slight urge or feeling that he has, then it would not be a dislike for him to pray in that manner. But the issue here is if it came to the extent that it would deter him from the salat, deter him from the khushu' and from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal. So if he had to do one or the other, al-bawl aw al-gha'it, but it was something light, a feeling or urge that he had, but it was not major, it was not something that was pressing him, and the lights like this were disturbing him, then inshallah at this time it would not be blameworthy for him if he prayed in that manner. But even still, if he had time to take care of that and to relieve himself, it's better. And Allah knows best. And Allah knows best. Likewise, barakallahu fikum, the ulama, they have mentioned as well that there are other affairs also that have the same ruling. And this any meaning any like whenever the food is present, why should one not pray whenever the food is present and he needs the food, or whenever one is has a great urge to use the restroom and he's repressing that, why is the prohibition here to pray, and it's preferred to go ahead and to relieve oneself even if the obligatory prayer is established, even if the Muslims are standing in the prayer and the Imam is reciting, or if he has the desire for food and the food is presented to him, that even if the Imam is reciting, as we've seen previously in the Hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that he would stay and the Imam is reciting in the prayer and he would stay and take care of his need. The reason for this and the wisdom behind this is because it busies and it preoccupies a person from having a mind that is present and a heart that is alive and awake, and from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the humility in front of Him and humbleness before Him Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So therefore the ulama likewise they have mentioned, because this is the reason that they have derived from these narrations, then likewise other affairs as well are included in this. And they mentioned, for example, the person who has arrih, and if he has the urge or the need to pass gas, likewise he should not hold that in either, but rather he should pass that and then he should make wudu and then come to the prayer. So other affairs that are similar like this, like the one who has the gas in his stomach, or even some of the ulama they mention whenever it's severely cold, or in a situation where an individual is severely cold or severely hot and he's not able to focus, or he's extremely hungry or thirsty and the likes like this, and to the extent that it would distract him and it would preoccupy him from thinking and remembering Allah Azza wa Jalla, thinking of the hereafter and of the reward with Allah and remembering Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, then likewise it's disliked for him to approach the prayer in this manner as well. Likewise it's disliked for him to approach the Salat in this manner as well. We have seen likewise that this is the case except for if an individual is going to miss the prayer entirely, meaning the time of the prayer. This is a situation he hasn't prayed yet and the food is presented to him and he does not have the time to eat the food and to pray the prayer before the time goes out. At this time, the time of the prayer takes precedence. At this time, the time of the prayer takes precedence, and he prays at any time, and he prays in the situation that he is in. He prays, and even if he's hungry, even if the food is right there, but he does not have enough time to catch that prayer before it goes out into the next prayer, then at this time he will not use this excuse or follow this narration, but rather he will give precedence to the condition of the time, and he will pray in that manner. And he will pray in that manner, whether he's hungry or whether he has the need to relieve himself or the likes in this manner. So this is the issue here, and this is from some of the affairs that are disliked in the prayer. To come to the prayer while one is preoccupied with the dunya, preoccupied with something from the affairs of this life, preoccupied with something from other than the prayer. Rather, a believer, he should come to the prayer in this manner while he is devoted and focused and he's worshipping Allah with sincerity and also with truthfulness and honesty, and he is focusing upon the affair at hand, and he's remembering Allah and he knows what he is saying. And it is very blameworthy for a believer to stand in purification with tahara and then face the qibla and have the intention to worship Allah with the greatest action from the actions of al-Islam, as-salat, especially the obligatory prayer. And then with his tongue, he says, Allahu Akbar. Allah is the greatest. But in his heart is thinking about the dunya. In his heart is thinking about the dunya. At this time, this individual, his tongue is saying something and his heart is saying something else. And this is in reality from the attributes of the hypocrites, nasal Allah al-afiyah wa salama. But this is something that a believer has to strive against his soul to remove, and to strive against his soul to taste the sweetness of the prayer, and to have the sweetness of khushu' and the presence of mind in the prayer, and fight against his soul, and not just let his soul go and his mind just go in the prayer entirety, but rather he will be in a state of jihad against his own soul, soul to remember Allah and to perform that prayer in the best manner, and to try to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see him and hear him and knows what is going on in his mind and knows what is going on in his heart, and nothing is hidden from him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he deserves to be worshipped. And he loves those who worship him only and sincerely and truthfully, and he loves those who follow his sunnah. Therefore, a believer, he'll approach the salat in this manner, hoping to please Allah and hoping for his pleasure and hoping for his aid and hoping for his help, remembering that he can see him and hear him, remembering that he's aware of his situation, his condition, and remembering that nothing can happen except by his permission and seeking his aid, subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a believer has to strive against his soul that whenever he says Allahu Akbar, then in his heart, Allah is Akbar. Whenever he says Allahu Akbar, Allah is the greatest. That there's nothing in his mind except Allah. Allah is the greatest on his tongue and in his heart. And in his heart, and at this time he will have the true khushu'. He'll begin in this manner. Whenever he recites the Fatiha, he's pondering over the meanings and he's benefiting from the recitation. Even before that, whenever he makes the dua al-istiftah, he thinks of the meanings that are found therein. The glorification of Allah and the praises of Allah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has no deficiencies, and that he is perfect in his names and attributes, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that he has authority and command over all affairs, and he is worthy of praise. And he is worthy of worship. And then he recites the Fatiha, seeking refuge with Allah first from the devil, from a shaitan, and then also from another portion of the Quran. And then he bows in humility and humbleness. He bows in his head in humility and humbleness, and he glorifies Allah, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Glorified is my Lord, my Ar-Rabb. And he's speaking of the Rububiyyah, remembering the Lordship of Allah Azza wa Jalla and his power and authority and his command, and that everything that it from this life is from his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is disposing of the affairs, and he is al-Azim. He is the greatest, and he is al-Azim, and in every aspect, subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is great in his names and his attributes and in his knowledge and in his honor, subhanahu wa ta'ala, his power and his ability, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So to be present in the salat with the body and with the heart, with the mind, all coinciding together to worship Allah. This is worshiping him upon a sidq, whenever a person, he is focused. Somebody, maybe he has ikhlas, maybe he's truthful, he's not showing off, and he's not worshipping somebody else. He intended only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but then whenever he approaches the prayer, he approaches it heedlessly, and he performs it in a manner with negligence, and he is not truthful with regards to that. And he does not perform it properly, he does not perform it in the best manner. Even some people, they would perform it outwardly in the best manner, but inwardly, and meaning that they move their hands, and they bow, and they prostrate, and the lights like this in the proper manner, they say Ameen at the right time, but inside they're in another place. Inside their hearts, they're in another land. They're thinking about the dunya or their family or what is going to happen later or what happened yesterday or what is going on with the business or the affairs or what they're going to say to so-and-so whenever, as soon as the prayer is over, so on and so forth. And even some of the people have been tried. They're thinking about the sins that they will commit whenever the prayer is finished. Iyadhan billah. Iyadhan billah. So a believer, he has to strive against the soul to perfect the prayer. And the one who is able to perfect the prayer, he is the believer. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. And the ones who strive to be humble and sincere in their prayer, they're the ones who have performed the prayer that will benefit them. That will benefit them. In the salat tanha an al-fahsha'i wal-munkar. The prayer, it will prohibit a person from evil and indecency and speech and action. But this is whenever it is performed properly. So the ulama, they have mentioned that if a person, he prays the five that he prays, but still he falls into major sin. And the likes like this, this is an indication of the deficiency in his prayer. Had he performed that prayer properly, then that prayer would stop him from falling into these major issues and falling into major sin. And the likes like this, from performing the prayer in the best manner. After this, the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned the narration, or two more narrations, one from Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, and another from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. And these narrations, now the author, he is indicating another topic or another subject from the subjects of, or the issues, the masail al-mawaqit, and the issue that we will discuss next, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, awqat al-nahyi, the times whenever it is prohibited to pray, and the rulings and regulations with regards to that. And this is what these next two narrations have been mentioned for, and what they indicate and what they clarify. And bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, in the next class, we will discuss the affairs of the prohibited times, the times whenever prayer is prohibited. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.